We're studying in 1 Samuel. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2, Wednesday night we started a study in the life of Samuel, the prophet, and we'll continue on with that tonight and look at some verses in chapter 2 and most, if not all, of chapter 3 tonight. And I tell you, you know, this sound system's pretty good. I got the feedback on it, and it sounds pretty good. I guess y'all can hear me pretty good, too. And we looked this past Wednesday night in chapter 1 and the birth of Samuel, and his mother, Hannah, made a tearful and almost desperate prayer to the Lord for a child. And, of course, Hannah was rewarded by God with the birth of Samuel. And we saw that Hannah was willing to give Samuel up to the Lord for service for the rest of his life. And we saw that the prayer that Hannah made to the Lord in chapter 1, verse 11 was interesting. We reached some conclusions about her prayer. And tonight we're going to look in chapter 2, verses 18 through 21 first, and then we'll go to chapter 3. But let's look at chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. We'll stop right there just for a few minutes. It's interesting in this first verse, or verse 18, we see a contrast here between the life of Samuel. And keep in mind, Samuel is just a young child at this point, and we're not sure. I would say he's between 5 and 8 years old, possibly. And we see a contrast here in the life of Samuel ministering before the Lord and Eli's 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And in the previous verses, in verses 12 through 17, we see how wicked and evil these two young sons of Eli were, and how they were misleading the nation of Israel, committing wicked, evil acts. And we see in verse 18 the contrast with Samuel, that Samuel is ministering before the Lord. And we see in verse 18 that he wore a linen ephod. Now, the linen ephod is like, it's like a bib or a vest that was patterned after the ephod of the high priest, and it was made of plain white cloth, linen cloth. And he wore that. His mother made him a, in verse 19, his mother made him a little coat that he could wear, and it resembled the clothing worn by the high priest. And so if you looked at Samuel in the temple at this time, you would think this is a miniature high priest ministering to the Lord. And he was just a child at that time, being instructed by Eli, of course. And we see also that in verse 21, that the Lord granted Hannah more children. She had 5 more children in addition to Samuel, 2 daughters, 3 sons, for a total of 6 kids. And this from a woman who was totally barren, who had no children at all, before Samuel, and yet the Lord blessed her by his grace, by his compassion for Hannah. And we see at the end of verse 21 an interesting statement. At the very end of that verse, verse 21, it says, "And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." And Samuel was making progress in his young life. The Lord was directing him, guiding him, even at that young age. And it's interesting that God will take children and use them for the Lord. In this particular case, this is an unusual case in the nation of Israel's history to take a child like Samuel and use him. Of course, we understand that he's being trained as a priest in the temple. But what better training there is than to do the actual work? And that's what Samuel was doing even at this young age. And that brings us to chapter 3, and we'll read the first 10 verses of chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. We see here in chapter 3 an interesting statement in verse 1 about the nation of Israel's spiritual condition. If you notice verse 1, it said the child Samuel was ministering unto the Lord before Eli, and it says that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. That word precious means rare. In other words, God was not communicating to Israel, and any type of communication from God in those days was rare. And there was no open vision. In other words, there was not many visions. And we see that the Lord, that was very little divine revelation going on from God, from the Lord. And we must ask the question, well, why no communication from God during this time? Well, I think there's two reasons. Reason number one is that Eli's sons were leading the people down the path of wickedness and evil. They had taken a leadership position in the nation of Israel, and they were guiding the people, the nation of Israel, down a path of depravity, a path of wickedness, a path of disobedience to God. And keep in mind the second reason I believe that there was no communication with Israel, that is at the end of this period were the judges. And there was spiritual darkness in the land. And the spiritual life of the people had deteriorated to a point where they had gone back to idol worship. There was no one, God had not chosen a judge or anyone to lead them away and out of this situation. So the people of Israel were engaging in or their spiritual life was at a low ebb during this time. In addition to Hophni and Phinehas misleading the people. So we see that God was not communicating with the nation of Israel. However, with the young priest Samuel, that was about to change in this chapter. And we see in verse 2 that when Eli was laying, or when Eli was the trainer for Samuel in verse 2, but it says, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. You know, Eli was in bad shape. He couldn't see. He was going blind. In this particular case, he was pretty close to being blind, if not all the way, in verse 3. And we see in verse 3, says, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple. Now, this lamp was filled with enough oil to last through the night. It was this lamp was a seven-branched candelabrum. The nation of Israel called it a menorah, or it's known as a menorah today. And there was, suppose the priest would put the oil in the lamp, and it's supposed to last through the night until the next morning, which was when it was refilled. And it was not supposed to go out. And I think verse 3 reflects Israel's spiritual condition at this time. the lamp of spirituality in the nation of Israel was almost out. The flame had burned low. The people of Israel in today's language were in a sad state spiritually. And we see that as in verses 1, 2, and 3. And so God, being proactive, many times, most of the time, in verse 4, he called Samuel. And Samuel said, "Here am I." And let's keep in mind again that Samuel's a young child. He's not a full-grown adult. And so God is calling Samuel in verse 4, and Samuel answers. And this was not a dream or a vision or anything like that. This was a direct revelation from God to Samuel here in verse 4. And Samuel, of course, ran over to Eli and said, "You called me." And Eli said, No, I didn't call you, Samuel. Go back to sleep." And in verse 6, the Lord called Samuel again. Samuel ran to Eli and said, "You called me." And Eli said, "No, I didn't. Go back to sleep." Verse 7, we see in verse 7 that Samuel, it says that Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You know, Samuel knew about God, but he didn't have a personal encounter with the Lord up to this point. Samuel had never received any direct revelation directly from God. And we see that God is, I think it's fascinating here to see that God is actually revealing himself to a young child. And that God had chosen Samuel to be the high priest of Israel, which he would be later on. But God had chosen this young child to communicate with, to have a direct revelation with in this particular case. And so in verse 8, the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He went to Eli, and Eli finally perceived in verse 8 that the Lord was calling Samuel. And in verse 9, Eli told Samuel, he said, "Listen, you go back and lie down. When he calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went down. He lay back down in his place. And in verse 10, we see that the Lord called again, and Samuel got up and he said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And, you know, I was reading this passage in preparation for this message, and you can't help but to wonder. The application here, I think, is very clear to us as believers. Are we listening to God in our own lives? When God speaks to you, when God speaks to me, do we hear him? I think there are different ways that God communicates with us today as opposed to the Old Testament. The Old Testament, direct revelation from God in dreams and visions, of course, were commonplace. If God wanted to communicate with somebody, he did it directly in the Old Testament. Today, if God wants to say something to you, if God wants to speak to you, if he wants to communicate with you, he'll use his word. God will also communicate through answered prayer. He will also communicate through the events and circumstances in our lives. But the question is, if God's, brother, sister in Christ, if God were to speak to you today through those ways, through his word, through circumstances in your life, through answered prayer, if he were to communicate with you, try to speak to you, try to get your attention, would we be listening? And if we understood that God was communicating with us, would we understand what he wants? And the big question is, would we obey if God were speaking to us today? You know, God tapped Samuel on the shoulder three times to get his attention. And God will do the same thing with you and me in our lives. And I think the question for us tonight, one of the things that we can take home tonight, is that is God speaking to you and to me today? Is there something in the Word of God that God is trying to get your attention? Is there something in your life, in your circumstances, in the events of your life, in which God is trying to get your attention? Is there something possibly in answered prayer that God will use to get our attention? And when God gets our attention, are we going to hear? And will we obey? And we see here that finally Samuel needed some help. He got some good advice, some good help from Eli. Eli certainly helped Samuel during this time because Samuel didn't know that the Lord is trying to communicate to him. He needed some help to do that. And Eli provided that for him. He provided good counsel to Samuel. And at this time, I think in verse 10, Samuel finally realized, even at a young age, Samuel finally realized that God was trying to get my attention. And you know, God will use different methods, as I pointed out, to get our attention. And I think, you know, sometimes our spiritual senses get dulled, don't they? For various things, reasons. Sometimes we're not paying attention. Sometimes we're occupied with other things. And sometimes we're out of fellowship with the Lord. But even during those times, God will try to get our attention. And the question is, in verse 10, are we willing to say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth"? Are we willing to say, "Lord, I'm listening to you. You have my attention"? And Samuel did that in verse 10. It's interesting in verse 10 also, we see that it said the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. That implies that there was a visible appearance of the Lord here to Samuel. It's not really clear exactly in verse 10 if that's the case or not, but it does imply that. And I think that God, you know, he doesn't have to appear to us in physical form to get our attention. He uses the different methods nowadays. But I think the question we should ask ourselves, as far as God communicating with us, are we hearing? Are we listening? Are we receptive? Are we receptive to what God has to say to us? Well, that brings us to verse 11. Let's read verses 11 through 18. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I began, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay in until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and he hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Well, first of all, we see that God in his communication, in his revelation to Samuel as a prophet, the Lord said that he's going to do a thing in Israel in which both the ears of everyone that heareth, it shall tingle. Have your ears ever tingled before? I don't think mine have. Maybe they have. Maybe if I was scratching them, they would tingle. But here, the Lord is using a figure of speech. And that phrase, "the ears of everyone that heareth shall tingle," is kind of like that phrase that we use sometimes, like the hair on the back of my neck stood on end. Or something makes my skin crawl. You know, the Lord is doing this on purpose because he wants to get across this message to Samuel so Samuel can get that message across to Eli and so the message can get out to the nation of Israel. So the Lord told Samuel in verse 12 that I'm going to perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, which I began, I will also make an end. We see previously that God had judged Eli and his family, his two sons. In verse 13, we see that that Eli had failed to discipline his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were wicked, vile men. And we read about that in those previous verses that I pointed out. And Eli, he didn't replace any restraints at all on his sons. There's his sons' behavior. And God requires parents to discipline their children. You read the book of Proverbs, you'll find plenty of verses there about parents disciplining their children. If a parent refuses to discipline their kids, it means they don't love them. That's what the scriptures say. I'm not making that up. That's what the Word of God says. Eli refused to discipline Hophni and Phinehas when they were committing these vile, wicked acts in his name. And they were acting in Eli's name while they were doing these things. They held a leadership position in the nation of Israel, and they were misleading the people. They were wicked to the core. And God had had enough. The Lord had had enough. And he was judging. He's going to judge Hophni and Phinehas and Eli for these things. And, you know, it's interesting. Found out what the words, you know, in the Old Testament, words mean things. And the word Hophni means fighter. The word Phinehas means serpent's mouth. How would you like, hey, snake mouth, come over here a minute. I got to talk to you. I don't think I would want to name my child serpent's mouth or snake mouth or anything like that. But, you know, we get an idea from the two names of Hophni and Phinehas of how wicked and evil they were. And we see that God had enough, and he was going to not only judge Hophni and Phinehas, but also Eli for what he had done, for his lack of discipline. And in verse 14 it says, "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." God will no longer accept sacrifices for Eli's children. That's hard to believe, but it's true. And God's going to judge Eli's sons, and he holds Eli partly responsible for the behavior of his two sons because of his lack of restraint, his lack of discipline. And God will not accept any more I am not going to accept any more sacrifices for your two sons. I'm going to judge them. And brother, sister in Christ, we have a God who is holy and righteous. He is not going to take sin and sweep it under the rug. He's not going to look at your sin and my sin and ignore it and not do anything about it. You know, that's the kind of God we have. Now, it's true, our sins have been judged at the cross. But in our life here, you know, God will use his chastening hand, if he has to rein us in, to get us back on the right track. In this particular case, Hophni and Phinehas, they were so evil. And the scripture said that they didn't know the Lord at all. They were so wicked that he was going to let them die. He was going to judge them. And that's what happened to them. And we see in verse 14, that the Lord will not accept any more sacrifices for his two sons. Verse 15, we see that Samuel, after God, the Lord had revealed this prophecy to Samuel in verse 15, he went back to sleep. And the next day, Samuel was scared. He didn't want to talk to Eli about this vision. It's a kind of a negative type prophecy. I mean, what child wants to go up to their mom and dad and say, "Hey, mom and dad, you're doing this wrong." You know, and Eli was like a father figure to Samuel during this time. And, you know, as a young child, you know, kids want to please their parents. They don't want to go up to them and say, hey, mom and dad, you know, you're not leading the family right. You know, kids don't want to do that. And he was scared. He was fearful of that. And he didn't want to confront Eli. But I believe the Lord took that problem away from Samuel. And in verse 16, we see that Eli called Samuel. And in verse 17, he asked Samuel point blank, said, "Samuel, what was that prophecy that the Lord told you? Tell me all about it. Don't leave anything out. I want to hear it all." And so we see that Samuel told him in verse 18, every whit. Samuel left nothing out, told him all of what God had told him. he relayed that message to Eli. And we see at the end of verse 18, he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Eli knew that God, the Lord, was right. He knew that. Eli knew that he deserved to be judged. He knew that. Eli knew that his two sons were wicked, and God had had enough, and he was judging them also. Eli knew that. He accepted that from the Lord as part of God's will. You know, sometimes God will do things in our lives. It's hard to accept sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes we may be doing things wrong or going in a wrong direction where the Lord doesn't want us to go, and he wants to get us back on the right track, and he'll bring some negative things in our life, and sometimes these things aren't pleasant and we don't like them. But you know, Eli in this particular case understood the fact that his two sons were wicked. They were evil. And he understood the fact that God was going to judge them and him for what was going on. He understood that, and he accepted that as the will of God. The will of God is what God wants. And God may want something in our life, and we don't want to do it. And we're like the horse that needs a bridle. And the Lord will continue to work in our lives, and work in our lives, and work in our lives, and can you continue to do what is necessary to bring us to that point where we will be obedient. But in this particular case, Eli knew that the Lord is right. He knew that, and he accepted it. Well, that concludes that passage. Let's look at verses 19 through 21. That'll be the concluding verses in this chapter. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Well, first of all, we see in verse 19 that Samuel grew. And Samuel was growing physically. He was growing spiritually. It says also in verse 19 that the Lord was with him. Isn't that great? Can we say in our lives that the Lord is with us? Is the Lord with you, you think? Or is the Lord with me in our lives as we move along? Well, in this particular case, God had his hand on Samuel. God was working in his life. And we see that the Lord was active in Samuel's life, even at a young age, at this particular age or this particular time in Samuel's life, God was still working in his life. And we see that the Lord gradually brought Samuel along into from childhood to adolescence into young adulthood into full adulthood. And at that time we're going to see that Samuel was a true prophet and judge in the nation of Israel. That God had his hand on Samuel. That the Lord had something in mind for Samuel's life and to accomplish. And we see also in verse 20, verse 19, the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, the Lord didn't let Samuel's prophecies fail. They were all fulfilled, you see. That's the mark of a true prophet in the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, if the prophecies are fulfilled. And the Lord made sure that when he gave a prophecy or a revelation to Samuel, that it would be fulfilled by God. And it was. So that was the fact that made Samuel a true prophet in the nation of Israel. That the people of Israel could look at Samuel, and he says so in verse 20, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. See, the people of Israel knew that God had his hand on Samuel. God was using Samuel. There was something, God had an incredible plan for Samuel's life, and he was bringing it to fruition. Even as Samuel was a young child, he was growing and developing and maturing physically and spiritually before the Lord. It's great to see our children and our family do the same thing, isn't it? We have some people here, young adults. And your parents could go back and see in your life when you were a young child, and they were leading you and instructing you in the ways of God, and they saw you grow and develop spiritually to where you are now. And I hope that where you are now as a young adult is exactly where God wants you to be. And, you know, Samuel was in that same situation. He was being tutored. He was being instructed by Eli. But God had his hand on Samuel's life. And brother, sister in Christ, God has his hand on your life. He does. And on my life. God wants to take us and use us for service to him. And he can, if God wants, it can use a young child, he certainly can use us. And that's what the Lord wants. In verse 20, or verse 21, said the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The Lord continued to reveal himself to Samuel. Even as a young child, God had made him a prophet in the nation of Israel. And as Samuel grew, his stature before the people of Israel grew. They had learned to respect Samuel. They had learned to love Samuel. They had learned to look up to Samuel for leadership and for guidance. God had his hand on Samuel. This is a beautiful picture of service to the Lord. When a young child can be used by God and grow up all, and to be a prophet in the nation of Israel. And we studied last Wednesday night, you know, when we were studying Hannah and her desperate prayer to the Lord. You know, the only thing that Hannah wanted was a son. She wanted a baby boy. That's all she wanted. God gave her what she wanted and more. God gave her a man of God. God gave Hannah a leader in the nation of Israel. Hannah had no idea what God was going to do with her son. She was going to turn him over to the Lord and let him use Samuel. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when we take our children and we turn them over to the Lord for service, he will use them for himself, for his glory, for his kingdom. That's the kind of God we have. The thing about it is, are we willing to take our children and let God use them like Hannah did? And Hannah was willing, as we saw Wednesday night, Hannah was willing to give up all rights to her son. She was willing to let him completely go to the Lord. And of course, when she did that, she let Samuel go in God's hands, which is the best hands to be in, isn't that right? So that's the end of our message in chapter 3. We're going to continue on in the life of Samuel. We're not going to go through all the chapters in 1 Samuel, but we'll deal with the chapters that speak of Samuel. And the next time we're going to see the wonderful impact that Samuel had in the nation of Israel as he interacts with King Saul and all the other people in the nation of Israel. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Father, we know that you are such a great God. We know, Father, that you can accomplish anything in our lives. And we know, Heavenly Father, that you have your hand on our lives. We pray, Father, for your leading and your continued guidance for us. We know, Lord, that you're the great God, that you can see far into the future for us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will provide us opportunities of service to you, that you will continue to open doors for us. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, through answered prayer, through the events and circumstances in our lives. We pray, Father, that you would speak to us and that you will get our attention and that we will hear your voice and we will see you working in our lives. We know, Father, that you worked in that child, Samuel's life. We pray that you'll continue to work in our lives for the glory and for the honor of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Thank you very much.